It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20. Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in!
For the snap in the place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome in to our Thanksgiving and Iron Bowl edition of Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us on this Thursday evening before the Iron Bowl. Auburn and Alabama hooking up Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Going to be an exciting show tonight. We've got lots planned for you. We're going to hear from Coach DJ Durkin in just a little bit, as you heard last hour as well. But we'll recap some of his comments heading into the ball game this weekend. We'll also talk to Brian Brensfield and one of the great kickers in Auburn history, Scott Etheridge. They have some great stories to share about their time in Auburn and the Iron Bowl. I think you'll enjoy that. And also Mr. Auburn, Kevin Fichtner, coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk some college football as well, get his thoughts on that, the ball game this weekend, and the Auburn basketball team out in Las Vegas in the tournament there. We'll talk some Auburn basketball as the Tigers continue to impress in the early goings of the 25-26 basketball season. But first, let's hear from the head coach, DJ Durkin. I don't know how many times I've been asked this week, do you think they're going to start Deuce this weekend? No, I don't think they're going to start Deuce this weekend. Coach Durkin didn't really emphatically answer that question at his press conference Monday, but he was asked, with Ashton's experience, how does that help him not playing in the ball game last week and then playing in the Iron Bowl this week? How will that experience, his experience at Stanford and now at Auburn, help him in doing that?
Yeah, it's crucial, and I think due to that experience, he took the right approach all last week, too. I mean, Ashton was very active in practice at both the offensive field and the defensive field. He came over and played quarterback versus our defense a lot of times. I wanted him to keep the speed of the game going, and he helped our defense. And he was, you know, with those guys, with Deuce, with Jackson, very involved in the game plan. So, you know, I think because of that, he approached it the right way, and he'll be just fine.
Okay, so Ashton Daniels looks like your starter this weekend. That's what I would pick. That's what I would do if I were Coach DJ Durkin. But not going to rule out Deuce starting. Not going to rule out Deuce playing. He had a tremendous ball game last weekend against Mercer. As you saw, over 400 yards of total offense, accounted for 6 touchdowns in the game. One of only 3 Auburn players to do that in history. So If they decide to go with Deuce at quarterback as the starter, I can certainly understand that. And if they need a spark in the ball game against Alabama, certainly you could see Deuce filling that role. Coach DJ Durkin asked about Deuce Knight at the press conference on Monday as well.
Deuce showed, I think, to everyone what we see at practice quite often. That's what we expected from him out there. I guess expectation, I don't want to say, I mean, it was really his first time starting, playing, all that. He exceeded expectations, but we know what he's capable of. You know, I think I said it after the game, but one of the coolest things about Deuce is just that he's got that demeanor about him where, I mean, at no point did you feel like Deuce was nervous or how's he going to respond or play. It was kind of like he was, you know, Deuce, you're the starter before the game. I mean, he just has the same look about him. And I think that's great as a teammate when your quarterback looks that way. I mean, that just kind of puts a calm in everyone around him. And obviously, he performed at a really high level. I mean, he had the big plays, explosives. Everyone saw that. But I think he did a great job of just going through his reads, making the right decisions, kind of operating the offense the right way.
Okay, so it looks like Ashton, but don't rule out Deuce Knight this weekend, certainly to play a role in this football game. One guy who will not play a role in the first half of the Iron Bowl Saturday is Sylvester Smith, the Tigers safety, who unfortunately was tagged with a targeting foul in the second half of the ball game against Mercer. So he will be out for the first half. He will get to play in the second half against Alabama, but a big loss for the Tigers, and Coach Durkin was asked Monday also about how he will deal with Sylvester's absence in the first half of play.
We're just going through the reps today at practice. You got to manage those reps now and understand, all right, well, you know, what's he doing during the first half? What's he doing at halftime to get him ready to play and go through all that? You know, obviously feel for him because it's a game so important for him personally, but I mean, he'll still get to play in it. And, you know, I thought that hit was, it was close. It was kind of bang, bang. I see why it was called. I think he can do a better job keeping his head out of it. But, you know, I've also seen worse not called too. But so that we'll plan on that. We, you know, we've rotated, played a lot of guys on defense. So it's not any tremendously new faces. It's going to be guys that have already been playing. I mean, I think the number's like 20, it's either 25 or 26 to 31 guys in every game we've played on defense. And excluding the last game, we were up near 40 guys on defense that game. So, like, we've played a lot for all these reasons, whether it's an injury or, you know, a guy gets ejected from the game for targeting or whatever it might be. It's like you got to have the next guy ready to go and not have a drop-off. And I feel very good about that based on the experience our guys have.
All right, so crucial for the Tigers to maintain quality pass defense in the first half of play and not let Alabama have those big plays with Sylvester out of the ball game. All right, Coach Durkin also, as a coach and as a player, has some experience in Big Ten country. He was an assistant coach at Michigan, of course, has some experience in that Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. But this week, he calls Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl, the greatest rivalry in college football. He was asked about that and his opinion of this ball game and what it means.
This rivalry runs deep, and it's interstate, and it's the history of it and the game being played in Birmingham and then finally moved here. And obviously with some of the things that have gone on over the past, I mean, we spent some time this morning in team meeting just educating our guys on it. We have other guys from all over, and some guys new to the team, transfers that don't, you know, it's not the old days where you got freshmen that have been on the roster for 5 years and understand all that. So I thought it was big that we spent time on that today and just educate our guys a little bit about the rivalry. And it's what you, I don't care where you live or where you're from, you know about the Iron Bowl, and certainly, you know, to this area, there's nothing bigger.
All right, so there you have it, the thoughts of DJ Durkin, the head coach of the Auburn Tigers, heading into the Iron Bowl this week. Again, we will have a conversation with Brian Brensfield and one of the great kickers in Auburn history, Scott Etheridge, on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk some college football and college basketball with Kevin Fichtner coming up as well, the Tigers of Stephen Pearl, involved in the tournament out in Las Vegas and doing quite well. Our first segment, as always, brought to you by Big Mike's Steakhouse. Had a chance to go in Big Mike's last week in Auburn, and what an experience it was. Had the ribeye, the 16-ounce ribeye, the baked potato was fantastic. The salad, of course, with the homemade Thousand Island dressing. You got to ask for that when you go in Big Mike's. They have locations not only in Auburn at Shug Jordan Parkway and Wire Road, but all across the state of Alabama and South Alabama at Orange Beach, and two new locations coming very soon to Sims and Bay Minette. But look them up and find the location that is nearest to you, BigMikeSteakhouse.com. They have not only steaks, but great sandwiches and salads and chicken, shrimp, and tuna as well. Try out the ahi tuna on the menu, and I think you'll enjoy that as well. BigMikeSteakhouse.com. Check them out this weekend for the Iron Bowl and all your college football tailgating experiences. Again, Brian Brensfield and Scott Etheridge coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back to talk to Kevin Fichtner about some college football and basketball as our Iron Bowl and Thanksgiving edition of Tiger Talk Overtime rolls on. Glad you're with us on this Thursday, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Talking some Iron Bowl, some basketball, and some coaching news this week, as Alabama comes to town. Mr. Auburn Kevin Fichtner is with us on the show. Kevin, great to have you with us. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Iron Bowl week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doug. It's a great time of the year right now. We're about to get some cold weather. It's going to be cold on Thanksgiving, and that's going to, you know, go towards the Iron Bowl. It's going to be cold Saturday night, first night game for an Iron Bowl in 17 years. So it should be exciting at Jordan-Hare on Saturday night.
It should be. In cold weather, it's going to be nice for the game Saturday, but it also makes you think of basketball a little bit. I know our guys are in action, although they're out in Las Vegas playing in a tournament. They had a pretty good first outing there against Oregon last night, or Tuesday night was not so good, as we're taping a little bit early here for Thanksgiving. But Tuesday night not so good for the Tigers as they fall to the Michigan Wolverines, who look to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, playing against Oregon, we looked really good. It was a tight game most of the way through. We went on like a 10-0 run late in the game under the 16-minute mark, and we held that lead, and it was nice to get a win against Oregon. The momentum was high. The enthusiasm was high. And then we ran into Michigan, and they destroyed us. You could tell where they put their money in the NIL from last year. I mean, there was a whole new team just like our team, and they were big. They were physical. They were tall. They could hit the threes, and they blew us out. You know, it's one loss on our record. Maybe in March we'll look back on it and won't even remember it. But it was tough to watch. Like Coach Pearl said, it's hard to win a game when you only have three assists. So, you know, our shots weren't going down. We weren't getting assists. Meanwhile, Michigan couldn't miss. I mean, they were hitting threes. They were dunking. Our free throw percentage, our free throw shots were down yet again. I saw three straight possessions where we missed the front end of a 1-1. You can't do that on free throws. So it was a tough loss. We look forward. We'll regroup and see what happens from there. But it's okay. We went to Vegas. We showed. We went 1-1 game against Oregon and lost against Michigan, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Yeah, that's exactly the thought I had about Michigan while I was watching their NIL. Like, they have put together a team like the Yankees used to have. But anyway, as you're listening here, Auburn will have St. John's on Wednesday night, and then a tough schedule all the way through December. As we're talking, Kevin, NC State, and then out to Arizona, who's in the top 10, and we play Purdue on the road, I think. So it doesn't get much easier for Stephen Pearl and the gang.
Yeah, no rest for the weary. We host NC State 1 week from today. We hope next Wednesday. And they were ranked. I doubt they'll be ranked next week because they lost this week. But we'll need to get that win at home. And then we go to Arizona, which I believe is a top three team right now. Right. That's going to be extremely hard. They beat UConn and other teams so far this season. And then we play Purdue in Indianapolis, where the Final Four will be held this year. So we beat them last year in Birmingham, and now they get to get their home game against us. So that'll be interesting. But, yeah, preseason games like this is only going to do wonders for us. We're going to learn from them. We'll win some, we'll lose some, but it's only going to prepare us for what we have ahead in the SEC slate starting in January.
All right, let's get on to the main news this week, and that is the Iron Bowl, of course, Alabama and Auburn teeing it up Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And you've got your big chain on, if people can see that. I'm not sure if they're listening or watching, but that is quite a Christmas present you got there.
Man, Doug, I am so excited. I know earlier this season I predicted Missouri to beat Auburn at home, and it came true, and I hated that I had to do that, but I did it. But I'm calling it right now. We are going to win the Iron Bowl Saturday night. I'm not giving a score. I'm just saying Auburn's going to win the Iron Bowl, and we're going to win our first Iron Bowl in 6 years. It's going to be break that streak. So I'm calling it right now, Doug. I got a good feeling about Saturday night.
You're going to the corner Saturday, right?
You know it. I'll be going to Tumors, and hopefully I'll have 3,000 fans there with me. Hopefully I won't be by myself. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And if we win this game, you know Durkin, that's got to be a lot of momentum for him heading into the offseason and, auditioning for the head coaching job here at Auburn.
Yeah, you would think so. A lot of talk about John Summerall as well and the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. But everywhere I go this week, Kevin, people are asking me about the quarterback situation. After Deuce last week, do they start Ashton? Do they start Deuce? Do they start Ashton and come in with Deuce if we need him? What do you think is going to happen Saturday?
I think it's going to be a tough call. I mean, Mercer was 9-1. They were no slouch, and he ran all over them. Now, granted, it wasn't an SEC team, but I think Ashton's going to get the start. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Deuce has some packages, especially running, from what we saw last week against Mercer, has some packages where he can do some kind of option run or pass, because he just looked great out there in space, and he can run like the wind. So I would not be surprised if there's multiple packages for Deuce in the game in the Iron Bowl. I mean, what else are you going to do? Is you can't leave anything on the table. It's the Iron Bowl. If you lose, your season's over with. If you win, you can go to a bowl, but you also keep Bama from going to the playoffs. So I think everything has to be pulled out for this game.
Yeah, no question about it. What do you see as the key to this ball game? Obviously, Alabama's having a little bit of problem running the football. Auburn's strength may be stopping the run. So I'm thinking Alabama's passing game against Auburn's defensive backs.
Yes, you are correct. I think if we can get any kind of defensive help, I know we gave up a ton of points to Vanderbilt, last time out against SEC opponent, but if we can get some stops on defense, which I think our crowd will help with that, we can get them on, third and eights, third and tens instead of third and twos and have to make them pass. Ty Simpson's a great quarterback, but played in Jordan-Hare, he hasn't done that before. So I think the big responsibility for our defensive backs will be to stop those wide receivers. And if we can get some push up front to make Ty make an errant throw or have to scramble or throw not when he's ready to, I think that'll be a big difference in the game.
Yeah, it really will be. And just thinking about what if Saturday night, if Auburn wins and DJ Durkin wins the Iron Bowl, it's going to be hard to say no to DJ Durkin. And if Tulane winds up making the playoff, that could work in DJ's favor as well.
That is correct. Yeah, so if he wins, he's going to have all that momentum. He would have turned the offense around pretty much, even though he's the interim head coach. He would have scored a ton of points over the last 3 or 4 weeks that he's been interim. And it's hard not to be able to hire a guy who just beat Bama, if he beats Bama, and ended that 6-year losing streak against them. And like you said, with Summerall, if he wins his game, he'll be advancing deeper into December and January, so he might not have we're not going to wait on that opportunity to, is it 50-50 if we get him, if we keep waiting for him? But I think if Durkin wins, it's going to be a great sign that he might be the head coach or at least be in the lead. Now, if we lose the Iron Bowl, that may be different. I think it could come down to Durkin and Summerall. There's a wild card out there as well. But if we win the Iron Bowl, it's going to be hard for them to say no, I think.
Yep, I would think so. But it may be already in the bag. We don't know. Kevin, always good to visit. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun Iron Bowl. Hope to see you at Toomer's Corner on Saturday night with that big victory chain.
War Eagle, Doug. War Eagle. Let's get this. Let's beat Bama. Come on. Let's go, baby.
Next up, the Horizon Financial Halftime Report here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference.
Auburn hosted the Florida Gators in what would become an instant classic. After a back-and-forth game, the two teams were tied at 35 late in the fourth quarter. With 1:21 left on the clock, it came down to the leg of Scott Etheridge.
Waiting for the snap, the spot, kick away, plenty long, kick in. It's good. Etheridge, at a minute 21 in the ball game, has kicked it through.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show. Talking some 1993 championship and talking a little Iron Bowl as well as we get toward the end of the season for the Auburn Tigers. And joining us again, Brian Brinsfield from his place in Columbia, Tennessee, and our special guest, former Tiger Scott Etheridge. And Brian, I know you guys are former teammates and had some great memories at Auburn when you were there, and probably some stories we don't want to hear about with a long snapper and a kicker, right?
Yeah, this is the first time Scott's seen my face. He always usually sees my rear end. So it's I had to introduce myself to him. Scott, you know, he was there. But when Jim Von Weil left my freshman year, Jim's senior year, there was a little kicking battle, and I'll let Scott talk about that. But Scott came in and became one of the most prolific kickers in Auburn history. Kicked about four or five game-winning field goals in his two-year career, and some of the most exciting game-winning field goals in Auburn history.
Yeah, we just watched. I just watched the one in '93, I think, against the Gators. So, Scott, I know that was an exciting time, and you know, you had some great kicks, as we've seen on video and we saw in person. But tell us about this guy, Brian Brinsfield. You put a lot of faith in him for those kicks.
Yeah, listen, Brian was great. I was a bit older, and you know, got to play with Brian two of his 4 years. And Brian did something very rare. I mean, back in the day, you didn't really have dedicated long snappers. So he was a little bit of a pioneer in terms of having a very specific skill set. And I think I give Coach Dye a lot of vision for that because, you know, a few years earlier, we were in Knoxville in the rain and had a few snaps go over our punter's head. And really, you know, put us back. So I think it was a little revolutionary at the time to have dedicated long snapper. It was usually like your best offensive lineman who could do it. And so Brian came in and did something also very rare, which was like start as a freshman, which just didn't happen. But he had mastered, and I will tell you, I loved it more than probably the punters, of being able to master the art of snapping a ball exactly 7 yards and having it land in the holder's hand, laces out, and make it very, very simple for the holder, which I think holding is a very difficult job, especially in bad conditions, of getting a ball down. And, you know, that whole operation has got to go in less than, you know, 1.2 seconds to be effective. And so I think it starts with Brian and then, you know, ends with my foot, but there's a hold in between that matters. And he was just brilliant at it. So that just gives you a lot of confidence. And ironically, I think it was the Alabama game a week ago or 2 weeks ago, you know, you got the kicker yelling at the holder.
Yeah.
I mean, the snapper. So, you know, I thought that was fairly, I understand the passion of the game, but we never had any of that. Everyone always did their job, but also, you know, you had to account for if it was going to be a high snap or the holder. Everyone just, you adjust and you pivot. And I think that's what life's about as well. So Brian was great at it. But yeah, I didn't get to see his face much. It was mostly him bent over and waiting for me to get set and everyone saying, you know, hurry up because we're in this start position and we're all bent over, like just wait for me to give a go ahead. And I'm backing up and making sure the wind and everything's accounted for and trying to see the play clock. And I've had LASIK since then, but I really couldn't see the play clock that well, which is also an inside joke. So.
Right. Not many people know this, but Scott was blind. So we had to line Scott up into to the field goal to make sure. And he just kicked it straight. He didn't know where the actual field goal was. He just kicked it straight, and it went in.
How did you know where straight was?
So,
You just kick it
yeah,
every time.
I literally every, it's a joke, but not a joke, but I wore glasses in college and I actually would take them off about an hour and a half before practice and games, just let my eyes adjust. And I could see very well closely, but I always had trouble with the scoreboard and a little bit of the play clock. So, no joking aside, depending on where the sun was hitting and what have you, I really had to focus on like where that play clock was. Because one thing no one ever talks about is, you always stand by the head coach at third down, but no head coach in the world is happy to fail on a third down conversion. So you essentially get yelled at for every field goal, like kick it, but it's a
Get in
disdained,
there.
like, oh, we gotta kick it. We didn't make it. So I just got used to getting that like disdained look. But sometimes there's a pause on like, should we go for it? Should we not? And so I'm always like, how fast do we have to run? Far hash, near hash. And it wasn't until a friend of mine in golf actually said, golfing's like kicking. He's like,
Tackle over.
yeah, what do you just do the same thing you did kicking? I was like, the difference with golf is I have all the time I want on the tee box. I was running against a play clock, so you didn't have a whole lot of time to like mess around. You had to get the line set, look at the defense, mark your thing off, look at the play clock, and then, oh, by the way, let's positions are, and then, kick it through. So it's very fast.
And
Brian,
that's where the operation came in. And we actually did this as a joke in practice. We would do it blind. Clay Helton was our holder in 92. We did this thing where at the end of practice, the last snap of practice, we would all close our eyes. Do you remember this, Scott? We would do it blind, and I would snap it with my eyes closed. Clay, I don't know if he peeked or not, but he says he would catch it blind and put the ball down, and Scott would kick it, so we tried to do that. But the what Scott said, 1.2 seconds, it was usually even faster than that. But that's where the operation and that's one thing about the you know the, that's one thing we took off the plate of the coach, I think, Terry Daniel included, was. It was the special teams aspect of the three phases of the game. I think they knew that phase of the game was going to go off without a hitch, unless they wanted Terry to pooch it. Terry didn't know how to pooch punt. He knew one speed, 60 yards, and that was it. But other than that, we took that off the plate of the coaches.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at One Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Well, Brian, I know you've told me a lot of stories about how kickers have kind of their separate practice. You probably have some great stories there, and get us into the Iron Bowl a little bit and some memories about Alabama Auburn with a game coming up.
Scott, I'll let you go. You want to go?
Yeah, I think for practice, we always did it early, but to Brian's point, our view was we're going to win the kicking game. And I will tell you, if you can win two phases of the game, it just kind of said like we got to either win on offense or defense because we're going to win special teams. And we took that extremely personal. And we made it a mission, but at the same point, we had fun. So we would play 7-on-7, acting like we're quarterbacks and receivers. I still joke to this day, if I needed a fair catch, I would put a kicker or a punter back there to catch it, because you catch punts all day long.
right.
And I think a lot of times when there's muffed punts, it's like they just only spend 5, 10 minutes a day doing it, because they're usually playing receiver or defensive back. But we used to go to the stadium. I'd convince the coaches that it was important for us to get the feel of Jordan-Hare Stadium, but it was really so we could go over there and mess around. We would kick and take it seriously, and then we'd play like this great game called four downs and 40 yards to score, and we'd play kind of numbers to the sideline, and we used to have a pretty competitive match between the kickers and the punters, and obviously the long snappers. So
We played tape ball in the locker room. We did do Oklahoma drill a couple of times between the hedges and the and if Coach Dye knew this, you know, if it listen, if Co if Scott would have sprained an ankle, running a post pattern on four on 40 and on fourth and 40, we would have had something to answer to. But and here's how we convinced him. The goalposts on the kicking field at practice were half the size of the goalpost on at Jordan-Hare. So what we did was we went to him and said, "Hey, listen, you know, we've been kicking on this, but we really need to get a feel for the goalpost for game day." And that was what we went to him and said. And he said, "That no, that sounds like a great idea." So off we go, trudging over to go kick, but then go and. You know, one thing I remember about the Alabama game, and I don't know if we can, maybe we edit this out, I don't know, but there was a, we won't mention names, there was a kicker at Alabama who had a bad habit. Do you want to tell this or do you want me to?
I can tell it. So, Michael Proctor is a great kicker at
We're
Alabama,
going to mention names.
and he was a great kicker. And out of Pelham, Alabama, just fantastic kicker. But he evidently had, enjoyed smoking, and the big joke was, he'd smoke cigarettes and stuff like that. And so I thought it was a joke, but I thought, like, for just to be hospitable, I'd put some cigarettes in his kicking net during warm up. Now, it's the Iron Bowl. We're undefeated. It's the second time Alabama's played in Jordan-Hare Stadium. We can't lose this game. And so I had one of the managers pick up a pack of Marlboro Reds and put it in his kicking net. And I thought that was just a hospitable thing to do. It's like,
Was a nice thing to
welcome
do.
him. That's what he likes. I mean,
It's our home. That's all you'll
Yeah, I
say.
could have put a fifth of bourbon in there, but I mean, that would have been maybe a little much, but I knew it was going to be a hostile crowd toward him, and he probably wanted to take a cigarette smoke
He needed
in
a
between
stress break.
kicks.
He needed a
Yeah.
stress break.
Oh, me. I bet that was a surprise for him. But anyway, and I bet Coach Dye was probably, I just think back to my years at Auburn. I don't think we had a scholarship kicker at Auburn until later on in the 80s or something, didn't we? And so
Yeah.
he was probably ready to get rid of the kickers and send them to Jordan-Hare Stadium, right?
I think he was. What I will say with Coach Dye, it's like, I thought about this the other day. I could never thank him enough, but he was honest.
Yeah.
So I walked on. My parents had gone to Auburn, and I walked on. I'd only played 1 year of high school football, and so it was kind of a Rudy type of story of, like, I had people laugh at me because I did well in California, but I did it kind of as a joke. And my high school coach convinced me I was good enough to play Division I football. And I said, no offense, but the SEC is a little bit different than the Pac-10, back in the day. And he said, no, I'm telling you. So I wrote a letter to Coach Dye asking to walk on. He accepted me. I sat for 3 years because we had established hierarchy in front of me. And then when I got the opportunity, he'd already given away two scholarships to kickers.
Yeah.
And I actually met with him going into winter workouts, and I just said, do I even have a shot? And he said, I'll be honest with you. You have to win the job. If you tie, I'm giving it to one of the scholarship guys, but you have to win it, and you got to win it outright. And I said, fair enough. And I appreciated his honesty. And you hear the story about, Bo Jackson, I'll give you the opportunity to play as a freshman.
Right.
Coach Dye was as honest as he could be, and I loved him for it, and I appreciated it. And so I won the job, beat out one of the scholarship kickers in the spring, And the other kicker was a great kicker, and he had a really great camp. I just couldn't miss, to be honest with you, the entire preseason camp. And so he had to give me the job. And then, very fortunately for me, 3 games in, we had one of those game-winning situations. And so 5 field goals against LSU in a game winner, it was like locked. And so, and we never turned back. And so it was great. But a lot of work went into that. But yeah, I appreciate Coach Dye's honesty. Because he could have taken the easy way out and just given the job to one of the other scholarship kids who were great kickers. And that would have been an easy thing. But Terry Daniel was a walk-on as well. So we had two scholarship. We actually had three scholarship. We had a scholarship punter and two scholarship kickers who were not playing.
Yeah.
And he had two walk-ons. But I think Terry and I both proved that was the right decision just based on all SEC and all American honors.
Yeah. And you're right. And I will say this, and I don't know, I think I've told you this, but I would go into Sewell Hall and Coach Hall would Wayne Hall would call me over and Coach Dye at some points and go, and I would think I was in trouble. You didn't want to go sit with Wayne Hall, but as nice a man as he is now, but you're nervous. So he called me over and he go, "Hey, listen, who kicked the best at practice today?" And it was always just Scott. And that he's right. That spring he did well, but then the fall camp, we tallied kicks. I mean, we didn't practice. We would mark down. We had a trainer, and he would write down. Okay, he made this one here, and this one here, and this one here, and Scott just couldn't miss. And especially during team is where Scott really showed out. And when we went field goal live, he didn't miss, and the other kickers did. And you want a kicker that can perform under pressure. And Scott just didn't miss. And he didn't miss. I don't think he missed an extra point in his whole career in those 2 years. Am I right?
Yeah, no missed extra points.
Yeah.
So,
Did Brian share his conversations with Wayne Hall with you?
no, I didn't know that. I found out after the fact that they had someone charting kicks
Yeah.
24/7,
Yeah.
and we didn't know it. And I
I did.
think I graded out at like 97% is what I was told.
It was ridiculous.
I got that intel my senior year. And so it kind of gets back to you, like, you never know who's watching. But I spent all summer, I just was focused. It was like now or never. And so I took Coach Dye at his word. And then I give him, like I said, I give him all the credit for giving me the opportunity. And then I just seized it. And then once I got it, I was never going to let it go. So.
One of the great kickers in Auburn history, Scott Etheridge, along with Brian Brinsfield, and we'll continue our conversation as we get you ready for the Iron Bowl coming up on Thanksgiving weekend right after this. More Tiger Talk Overtime on the way.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Talking some football, some Auburn football with one of the all-time greats, Scott Etheridge, and, of course, Brian Brinsfield, who's joining us every week on the show. And, guys, let's continue our conversation about those championship days in 93 and the Iron Bowl. And, Brian, pick us up almost where we left off last segment.
I'll tell you something else nobody really knows is Scott's senior year. I don't know if you did it your junior year, but Scott said, "Hey, hey, ride over to Atlanta with or Columbus with me one, I don't know, Wednesday night, Tuesday night after practice." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to play soccer." He played indoor soccer during the season. So again, he screws up his ankle, he twists a knee, whatever, he's done. This guy's playing indoor soccer during the season.
No, so it was in Atlanta with my brother.
Like I
It was
said,
in
it was in
the
Atlanta, my
off
brother.
season. I never did it during the season, but January through July, I would go on Tuesday nights And Matt Hawkins would also join me,
That's
who was
right.
our
That's right.
backup kicker. And we would go play indoor soccer with my brother's adult team. And they loved us coming because we were in shape and we were good. I was actually a better soccer player than I was a football player. And so we'd go help his team out and then we'd ride back to Auburn. So it was never during the season. Once the season hit, I was good then. But yeah, it was a little bit stupid looking back on it, but it's almost like, you know, the athletes today who play pickup basketball or stuff like
Yeah.
that, you know, it's like you multi-sport athletes, they tend to want to do that, but
But here's the problem. If they get so Scott gets hurt and Matt's the backup gets hurt, I'm now the kicker. That's the problem.
that
If
is a
some,
problem
yeah.
because then we don't have a snapper.
I got to snap it, run back there, kick it. Yeah.
We
Yeah, it's a
don't have any charts on that, right? On Brian
no.
kicking.
Brian was it was great. And unfortunately, Brian had, you know, back and asthma problems. But the other thing I would credit Brian is he's the only 4-year letterman at Auburn to avoid having to do any kind of conditioning drills. And that is a real art when, you know, everyone's having to run and do strenuous stuff. And Brian somehow always had some sort of clearance. And I thought that was brilliant and
Wasn't.
fascinating at the same time. So it was, I would just say that Brian was definitely a gamer, less of a practice and off-season player. But come Saturday, you didn't have to worry. He was going to be dressed and ready to go. So
He's kind of like Bo Jackson in that regard, right?
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Not just a pretty face.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I know you're short on time a little bit. We appreciate your visit. I want to get your thoughts. I know we had the Michael Proctor prank story during the Iron Bowl, but on the field, as we're heading into the Iron Bowl here, what sticks out to you? What is in your memory when you think of the Iron Bowl during your years at Auburn?
You know, I remember the first time Auburn hosted Alabama in '89. I thought it was magic. I wasn't playing, but just the crowd. I remember the Legion Field experience, and it was gut-wrenching. I wanted to trip Antonio Langham as he grabbed an interception in '92
Sideline.
and off the sideline, but I didn't. I held restrained. But I think in '93 it was such a magical season. And, you know, one of my biggest honors is being voted captain of that team by the players. And so to come from like a walk-on to then go undefeated, which we'd never done, and everyone doubted us, new coach, probation. So there was a lot of hate. We didn't have social media, but like no one expected anything. And we just kind of like closed the doors around us and said, let's go get it done. And then you know, when we beat Georgia, I remember leaving Athens thinking it's kind of a one game season and we can't lose at home. And so that game, we came from behind, but we won it. And I still remember just the crowd. And then after the game, just the last look at the stadium and knowing it was also my senior year. So, like, this was it. And so it was just the perfect culmination, but it's you can't explain to anybody what it's like to play in an Iron Bowl. And I've been on both sides of it, winning and losing, but the winning is this weird relief that is filled with joy that you can't quite manufacture in the moment. But like for me to end that way was like, and to be undefeated with this group of guys, it's like I'll never forget it.
And I'll put just add something to that. You know, it's not only winning the Iron Bowl, but going undefeated. There's not a lot of teams. I mentioned this about my dad's team. There's not a lot of teams that go undefeated or win a national title. And I know they didn't crown us national titles then in the coaches poll, but there were outlets that did crown us national champions. In mine and Scott's mind, we were national title winners right after that game. But because we went undefeated, because we beat Alabama, because we had that magical season, Scott and I and the rest of us, the guys that we talked to, late with JT and Shannon Robeek and all those guys, we have this bond that we'll always have for, as long as we live. And my dad had it with his team. I'll have it with mine with Scott, and we're gonna have it this weekend in Jordan here. So
Yeah, I guess that was kind of a double relief, with the Alabama game, like you said, Scott, winning the Alabama game, but then having that added pressure or relief about the undefeated season was kind of a, you really had to lay back and take a deep breath, huh?
yeah, I mean, I remember riding home from Athens and you're 10 and 0, which no one thought we'd be 10 and 0. And then you're like, well, we can't finish 10 and 1.
No.
Like, it immediately became an all or nothing. And then at the same point, one of the great coaching advices I got was like, don't play the game on Saturday, on Tuesday. So you had to basically like every day kind of recheck yourself that we have this big thing on Saturday, which, oh, by the way, it's not on TV. So Auburn's already got all the RVs. It's all packed. Like you can't just sit at home. And so you have to kind of like manage the nonsense around you. Like, luckily there's no social media, but like, quite honestly, it's like, it's kind of crazy looking back how crazy that week was. But I give our team credit because we kind of just sadly stayed in the moment and just took it day by day, which is sounds boring and it's hard to do, but like, that's what we did. And then winning is just it's just still, even looking back on it, it's incredible what we did, and I'm so proud of it. I'm just proud to be a part of it, to be honest with you.
And we didn't go out of town like they do now. We didn't leave to go to Columbus or Phoenix or Montgomery to a hotel. We stayed in Sewell Hall right in the middle of it, in all the chaos. So it was, it was like Scott said, it was a lot to get out of your mind and just wait till Saturday to play the game and to play it on only on Saturday. And it was, but what a special day it was, and it'll always be.
And in fact, now they just go to Opelika. It's not really out of town, but I guess it is out of town, but not really out of town. But anyway, it's out in the woods. So anyway, guys, appreciate you visiting. It's always good to catch up. And Scott, good to see you. It's been a while, and enjoyed watching that old highlight against Florida. And best of luck, and enjoy the ball game this weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Great to see you guys. Brian, I'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, Scott. More Eagle.
All right, take care.
Scott Etheridge, one of the great kickers in Auburn history, as Brian mentioned, Brian Brensfield alongside, and those two made a great team back in the day, and a great team still today, as we chatted with them tonight about their experience at Auburn and the Iron Bowl. That's about all the time we have for tonight on the show. It is a night game at Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday night, and I know you're going to enjoy that for the first time in a while. Hopefully, you'll enjoy it at the end of the ball game. And of course, you can catch the pregame Saturday afternoon right here on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Auburn Tigers. And let's get a big win for DJ Durkin. And, we were talking to a kicker, and it wouldn't be much better than Alex McPherson, who kicked a 47 and a 49 last week to boot one with time running out and put the Tigers over the top against the Crimson Tide. Until next week, everybody, Doug Holton, War Eagle. We'll see you this weekend.